they're going to be punished. Oh, come on and say amen. They're going to be rewarded. And those who are righteous, they will be rewarded also. So whatever you are in the word. Verse 6 says, for he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabit it. He's saying that this person has got a place for you. Just told you that. This person, this wicked, this faithless person has a place that he's prepared for. He'll be like something in the desert that all you get is heat. You don't even grow. Come on and say amen. You'll have a spiritual drought, and you won't see good when it comes. Everybody else will be blessed, and you're sitting there in your spiritual drought saying, God, I guess you think they're better than me. You know, you know how people do. They get jealous when somebody else get blessed. What they call those? Haters. You got haters that come on and say amen. In other words, the person who is faithless becomes a hater. Now you see why you got so many. Because you got faith. Oh yeah, the people who are faithless becomes haters. They become people who are hateful because of the heat and the mess that they're in. Come on and say amen. He said that they'll be like in a parched place in the wilderness. They'll be in a place in the wilderness where they don't have nothing to drink. They don't have no refreshment. Come on and say amen. They don't have nothing growing around them. All they can see is death, doom, and gloom. And that's why you need to try and bring some water to them. Come on and say amen. Try to bring them some word. Try to let them know that you don't have to stay in the desert. You can get up and come over to the promised land that's prepared for you. Come on and say amen. All it takes is a little bit of faith. Oh yeah, he said if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, he said you can speak to the mountain and tell it to be moved and cast. I hope somebody get this morning. Oh yeah, because the Lord is your hope this morning. He says that he'll be like in a wilderness and in a salt land and not inhabited. We got to see this. He said you'll be in a salt land. You know what it means to be salted. Too much salt's not good for you. Oh, come on and say amen. You got something. When we was growing up, they call us, man, why you pouring salt on my game? Oh, yeah, you'll see people who are faithless, they always pouring salt. Oh, yeah, you talk about your blessing. Oh, it ain't all that. Or they'll tell you that somebody got something better than you to try to discourage you. They don't want to hear your testimony. Come on and say amen. But you need to testify anyway so they can hear about the goodness of God so that they might believe that God is and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can somebody say amen this morning? He said it'd be like in a salt land, not inhabited. You'll be in a desert place all by yourself. Look, the desert is not intended for people to live in. It's intended for you to pass through. It's intended for you to learn something while you go through. You need to say, I don't want to be here always. I know that I'm not going to be here always. Maybe you're in a desert right now. I don't know where you are, but you need to know that the wilderness, the desert, is not created for you to be in always. The children of Israel, they spent 40 years in a wilderness, in a desert, going around and around in circles, all because they were faithless. I don't know about you, but I can't afford to go 40 years in the wilderness. I can't afford to spin my wheels going around and around in circles when all I got to do is have faith for 3 days and I can get the promise. Oh, that reminds me of the 3 days that we, oh, come on and say amen. Some of the disciples lost faith for 3 days, but on the third day, he rose up. Come on and say amen. When all you got to do is have a few days of faith, you'll get out of this mess. But sometimes we lose faith and we end up in a desert. He said it'll be a place uninhabited. In other words, there won't be nobody else there. And so if you want to be a bellyache, a compliant, whining, complaining person, then you can do that all by yourself. But I'm looking for somebody who say that God can and God will. I'm looking for somebody who will be like the three Hebrew boys that said that even if he don't do it, he's still able to do it. Come on and say amen. I'm looking for somebody who will say that God, oh, come on and say amen. Like Paul said, that I went to the Lord 3 times and he told me my grace is sufficient for you and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I'm looking for somebody who's weak right now, but then they'll say I'm strong. I'm looking for somebody who said I'm poor right now, but I'm going to say I'm rich. I'm looking for somebody who's saying that I am the righteousness of God, even though I fell short yesterday. I know that today that his mercies are new this morning. Woo. He's your hope. Hallelujah. Don't be faithless. Look at verse 7. It tells us to have faith. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. He said, happy. Now, you went from a faithless, sad, hating, complaining, mean, mad person. He talked to them first. Then he says, blessed is the man, a person who trusted in other folks. First off, he talks to them. He said that, you know, you're looking at people too much. Quit looking at other people. Look to the hills whence cometh your help. Quit looking for me. I might let you down. Look above me and say, God, touch him. If you're looking for me, say, God, help him to get here soon. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, but he says now, blessed, happy is the man. Fortunate is the man. Oh, yeah, this man is in a happy state. In other words, I'm in a happy state of mind, even though some things around me don't look good. I don't look at those things and complain. Amen. I remember Reverend Paul Jones sung that song. He said that I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I had some weary days and some sleepless nights. But when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my, and I won't come. I wish I had some help in here. We need to get to the point that you're a blessed person that said that I won't complain. Because I can trust that God will make my good days outweigh my bad days. Oh, yeah, I've been lied on, talked about. I've been misunderstood, but I still won't. I won't complain because I have God as my hope. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. In other words, I can't see nobody else helping me out of this but God. I can't see the banker helping me. I can't see the doctor helping me. I can't see the lawyer helping me. The pastor, he might let me down. But the only person I believe can help me through this is God. The reason I know he can help me through it is because he brought me to it. And so therefore, I'll trust. Oh, come on. David said in Psalm 23, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because thou art. In other words, since God is with me, I trust him. Oh, yeah, he's in it with me. If God be for me, then who can be against me? Oh, yeah, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and to the called according to his purpose. If the police can't protect you, God can. Hallelujah. Praise his name. But you got to have faith. He said, whose hope the Lord is. He said, blessed is the man who trusted, who has trust, reliance on God. And you know, the one thing we got to realize is that when you trust in God, when you have belief in Jesus Christ, God sees your faith in Christ, and then he turns around and blesses you because of that. It's some things, listen, it's some things I didn't pray for. But I got anyway. It's some unexplained blessing that I never opened my mouth and said, God, would you do this for me? I didn't even have to say a word. But because I believe, because I trust him, God said, I can't let that boy go through life without blessing him with this. I want him to experience. I can't let that. Oh, come on and say, man. Oh, yeah, look, let me tell y'all something. I won't testify. I found something that I thought I didn't even think about. I found, do you remember when Nichols was here in Natchitoches? I found a layaway card from Nichols on the first suit I ever bought. $156.84. I paid 3 payments on it because I couldn't afford to buy it outright. Y'all don't hear me. But just the other day, I went to the suit store and I decided I'd bless somebody else with a suit. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope. Now, see, I could still be talking about I ain't got no money. I still, look, and even if I, look, I don't have a lot of money, but I thank God that what he's given me, come on and say, man, oh, yeah, that he's blessed me enough that I don't have to see those $156 days. Took me 3 times to pay it. Oh, come on and say amen here. But when I look at this and I understand what God has done, he says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. When you trust in God, it's some things God is just going to do for you. So you don't need to spend all your time asking God, God, do this and do that. You just need to go to God and thank him. Oh, yeah, you need to be thankful even in this season. You need to say, God, I thank you. Oh, yeah, I thank you for that too. God, I thank you for this too. I thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank God for the little things. That's why he said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Come on and praise his name. We need to learn how to be thankful. He said, make your supplication known by thanksgiving. Lord, I'm not trying to ask you to do it, but I thank you that you already done it. Oh, come on, praise his name. Why has he already done it? Because God is not in the past. Come on. Oh, yeah, well, let me rephrase that. He's been in our past. He's right now in our present. But I thank God that he's already in my future. And it's all in God's mind. What I'm trying to get to has already happened. Oh, come on, praise his name. So in God's mind, he has to rewind this thing and say, let me see what happened here. Oh, yeah, God knew. He knows where I'm going to be 5 years from now. God, he knows where I'm going to be 10 years from now. And so whenever something happens in my life, it doesn't surprise God. When he see me fall, come on and say amen. It don't surprise him because he put his hand there the whole time. Because he knew I was going to get to a point where I was going to slip. Come on. But he picked me up. That's what David said. He picked me up out of the miry clay and placed my feet. I feel like preaching it. But it's all only to the person who has faith. But when you have faith, you need to see what God does. When you have faith, God will make you fruitful. We see, he talked to the faithless. Then he talks to the faithful. Or he says the one who has faith. And then he talks to us about the fruitfulness that we'll have because of faith. Look at this. He says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And so whenever you have faith in God, he's saying that you're going to be rooted in him. That's why we can honestly say we can be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's why we're going to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, he says that we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And you see, a person who's faithless, they don't have no water. But the person who's faithful, he'll make you fruitful because he'll give you water to nourish you. In other words, you'll have the nourishment you need and you don't have to go looking for it. The nourishment you need will be right there with you. Come on. He'll plant you. He'll root you. He'll ground you in the word. Oh, yeah. The Bible says that the washing of the water by the word of God. And so since the word of God is compared to water, he said you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In other words, I'm so rooted in the word, I won't be moved. I'm so rooted in the word that whatever in the word, it flows through me. It comes through my roots and through my branches. And then when you get some fruit from me, you'll be able to taste what's in the water. Oh, come on, praise his name. And so what makes the fruit grow? It's the water. And so in order for us to produce the fruit of life, in order for us to produce the fruit of the Spirit, we have to be rooted and grounded in the word. Oh, look at what he says here. And that spreadeth out her roots by the river. The river is referencing the river of life. And so whenever I am faithful, I'll be fruitful enough that I have life. Oh, he said in Psalm 91, he said that he'll give us longevity if we trust in the wings of God. God. Oh, praise his name. Then he said, look at this. He said, and shall not see when the heat comes. In other words, I won't notice when things get too hot. I won't notice when I'm in a trial that seemed to be too heated. When everybody else is saying, I don't know how they made it. I can tell you how I made it. I made it by the grace of the Lord. Oh, can I get somebody here that has made it by the grace? Yeah, I've been through hell and high water, but you can't tell it because I still have joy.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. I want you to stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. And when you get that place, if you can, flip to Mark chapter 15, verse 34. Matthew 27 and 46, Mark chapter 15 and verse 34. Rita.
Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, excuse me. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, la sama bathani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Mark chapter 15, verse 34.
Mark chapter 15, verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Amen. You may be seated. In this word before us today, Matthew and Mark both record the words of Christ in that fourth saying on the cross. And theologians and scholars have dealt with this cry, with this utterance, trying to make sure we get the understanding of Jesus, not so much as the Son, but as the servant crying out to his Father. Amen. He cried out in the beginning, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He cried out at the end, Father, into thy hands do I commend my spirit. And the Bible says, and he gave up the ghost. But in the middle of his utterances, he does not say, Father, but he says, my God. Now, Mark and Matthew has subtle nuances between the two of them, but collectively, they give us a fuller picture. One of the things that you will note is they begin to talk about the ninth hour. And in the Eastern culture and in the Hebrewic time, the ninth hour was the 3 o'clock hour. For the day began at 6 a.m. And from 6 to 9 a.m., it was the third hour at 9 a.m. At 12 noon, it was the sixth hour. And then at 3 o'clock, it was the ninth hour. And then when it would go back to the 6 o'clock hour again, it would be the 12th hour. For remember, Jesus says, are there not 12 hours in a day? And so, according to this calculation and this timing, it's 3 o'clock in the evening and darkness has fallen upon the earth. The sun has turned its back and refused to shine. The Father has never, ever been separated from the Son, but he's not being separated from the Son, for in this word, the Son is not speaking as much as the servant. And the servant is saying, notice again his cry, not Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, but, which is interpreted, my God, my God. He did not say, my Father, my Father. If he were the Son in this mode, because he's both Son and servant, if he were speaking out of the Son's reference, he would have said, my Father. But he says, my God, which is to differentiate the fact that he's speaking as the suffering servant who is the sacrificial lamb for man's sins. And so notice this, because I want you to see this. In these subtle nuances between Matthew and Mark, Matthew says, Eli, Eli. And then he uses the word again, lama. And then he says, sabachthani. Now, one of the things that's important about that is to understand that though the original language was Aramaic, it is filtered through the Hebrew interpretation. So because it is filtered through the Hebrew interpretation, he most references what the Hebrews have interpreted this saying from the Aramaic to mean. Now, when Mark speaks, he does not say Eli, he says Eloi, Eloi. Now, here in the King James Version, it says lama sabachthani, which again appears to be a part of the Hebrew saying and or interpretation as well. But if you were to go back and look at it in the original, you have various interpretations. But in these interpretations, again from the original, here's what it says. When Matthew says, my God, why has thou forsaken me? Yes, and Mark references from the more original Aramaic terms, Eloi, Eloi. And instead of lama, L-A-M-A, it's L-E-M-A, which means for what has thou not forsaken me, but abandoned me. So let's put it together, Mark and Matthew, and see the clearer picture. When you listen at what they have said collectively, it sounds something like this, being interpreted. My God, why and for what has thou forsaken and abandoned me? Lord, I wish I had some listeners. Now let's look at that, because there are basically two reasons in the myriad of multiple reasons, but here are the two basic reasons. When Matthew asks why and Mark asks what, it's to help us understand the purpose and the mission of Jesus being fulfilled as the sacrificial lamb on the cross. And when Matthew looks at Jesus from the Hebrewic or the Hebraic interpretation, he's looking at it, asking the question as the servant is saying, I've done, in essence, everything you've asked me to do. And when I need you the most, God, you've turned your back on me. Here is what the servant wants to know. Why? Why? I could see if you turned your back on me if I disobeyed you, if I didn't fulfill the commission that you had given me in the mission to hang on the cross, to pay the cost and the penalty for man's sin. But why are you forsaking me? And of course, the simple answer is for the reason of sin. Because every damnable and contemptible sin that was ever committed or ever will be committed in this world was placed on the cross of Christ. When he was nailed to that cross, he then had every sin nailed with him. And what an awesome burden, what an awesome responsibility for one who is holy and blameless to have sin placed on him and not in him. And see, we need to be clear, my brothers and sisters, you can be around sin. But if you maintain who you are and whose you are, you don't have to be in sin. And for the purpose of paying for every sin, so that the devil could not blame one child of God who accepts Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, Jesus paid it all. Which means it doesn't give us an excuse for not going to him and confessing our sins. It doesn't give us an excuse to say, Lord, you don't understand what I'm going through or the fix that I'm in. He was tempted in all points like as we, but without sin. So listen to this. Sin is the first reason. The sin was so great that God saw the sin and turned his back on sin, not the son. But the servant was bearing the sin. And because God is too holy of a God to allow sin to exist in his presence, he showed the fact that sin would have no part nor place with him. And when the servant felt the turning of God's back against sin, he took it personally. And so he felt that God had forsaken him. Mark says, for what have you abandoned me? Now, when Mark talks about it, Mark is talking about there's got to be more than the reason of sin for you turning your back on me who has never known sin. Are y'all with me this morning? And so, for what reason are you turning your back on me when I've never sinned, though sin is upon me that I am paying for on this cross? Mark wants to know for what? And the reason is clear: for the purpose of redemption. You see, you got to realize that sin is man's part. But the servant had to stay up there until man's sin could be redeemed.
And so for what he's up there and for what God abandons him is because he has to endure everything necessary to complete the payment and for the penalty of sin. So why sin? What redemption? If he did not stay on the cross,